Hello and welcome to Nonprofit Spotlight. I'm Stephanie Ings, KXCI Director of Education and Community Engagement. And today I'm here with Giselle Suslavsky, the Executive Director of Make Way for Books. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Stephanie.
What is your organization's mission and vision?
Make Way for Books is a nonprofit organization based here in Pima County. We've been around for 26 years and have also had the benefit of expanding out into Maricopa County. We have two satellite sites there as well in Chandler and Avondale. And in the last few years have had an opportunity through partnerships with the Department of Education and foundations to expand programming across several different counties across Arizona. Our mission is to give all children the chance to read and succeed. We envision a world where every child enters kindergarten ready to thrive and where all families and educators have access to the books, resources, and the support that they need to make that happen.
Wonderful. And how does your organization work toward that mission?
So I mentioned we've been around for 26 years, and we really spent those 26 years honing in on programs that are moving the needle on school readiness and grade level reading, because we know that it's strongly connected to long-term education attainment. Research tells us that those early years of brain development, they're critical, right? And this early learning intervention, which is what we do in terms of early childhood, it's most effective and it produces more favorable outcomes than remediation programs related to literacy later in life. So essentially, when we talk about early literacy and when we talk about grade level reading, even that term, right, it's a very educational forward term. So if you're a teacher, if you're in child development, if you're a pediatrician, you understand that there's a lot happening, right, in these early developmental stages. By 18 months, a child's language development is already a strong indicator of what their grade level reading scores are. Because from kinder to third grade, children are learning to read. But after third grade, they're reading to learn. So essentially, you get tested on being reading at your grade level, right? So your kinder grade level, your first grade level, second grade. We don't necessarily hold children back. We just identify that they might need some extra help during this kinder through third stage. But we have plenty of kids who are struggling readers and still get moved on into fourth grade, fifth grade. And so the remediation programs are some of these pull-out programs, right, where you might have a librarian or a reading specialist supporting the continued development of grade-level reading skills. Unfortunately, a lot of research indicates that we're not making a huge dent. So those third-grade reading scores are also a really strong indicator, and tracks in terms of that same percentage of children that are not reading at grade level tend to be the same percentage of children that are not graduating high school. So remediation is really you're behind, and there are these programs in between fourth grade to high school graduation that are intended to help you catch up. But our programming, you know, that's why we say it's like a strong start. So if we give kids a strong start, there's a lot of research that reflects that they're going to succeed, they're going to graduate high school. So we have focused our program efforts on this birth to five stage, empowering our youngest and most vulnerable learners, but really it's their families, right, and the educators in their lives, providing the tools that they need to ensure that all children in our community have the chance to read and succeed. And we do that through our two primary core programs. So one is the Family Education and Literacy Program, where families are coming in, they're learning together with their child. And the other is a professional development and coaching program for educators. Now, we refer to this birth to five stage of coaching and professional development as educators, but the reality is across our state and across our nation, we refer to those folks primarily as childcare providers. But the reality is they're spending several hours throughout the day with children during this really critical developmental stage, and they oftentimes don't have the resources to have the education necessary, right, or just these concepts around early literacy so they can really maximize the time with the children. Family education program is referred to as Story School. So I mentioned this is a multi-generational program where parents and children are learning together. Now, it's not just parents. We want aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, anybody who's spending time with that child during this birth to five stage to participate in the program, and they often do. They participate in a 12-week cohort model, and each week is focused on a distinct literacy skill where the parents are learning how to share books and activities in a fun and engaging way, but most importantly, importantly, they're learning why. Why is it important to be having back and forth conversation with my child? Or why should I be reading to my 18-month-old, right? Because once families are empowered with that information and they know that they have everything they need, regardless of their education level or experience, to ensure that their child has this strong start and how much it's going to impact their learning later in life, then they're all in. Those are the two core programs. So they participate over the span of those 12 weeks. And like I said, each session is focused on a distinct skill, but also they're getting two books every time that they come. So at the end of programming, they end up with 24 books. And importantly, they know the how and the why to use those books. And they're oftentimes building their first home library. And these are also books that are really intentionally selected so that families see themselves reflected in the stories. There's a book that's developmentally appropriate for the child. So obviously these are babies, right? Board books, things that they can handle. And then one that's a little bit more of a story that a parent might want to read over and over again, because we know that we're just spending, you know, 1 hour over 12 weeks with this family. And so we're not going to impact that child in, you know, those 12 hours that we spend with them, but we are going to impact that adult. And it's all about what they continue doing at home and long-term. And they can participate multiple times depending on when we meet them, right? Their child needs to be in a different developmental stage. So they might come in at it at 2 years old, but they can come back when they're three. That way we open it up for plenty of families to participate. If we get them to participate multiple years, then the idea is it's really providing sort of a equivalent experience to a preschool. I think an important thing I want to mention as well is that this program is free to all participants, and we have multiple starts throughout the year. So anybody who's interested, it is not hard to access this in our community.
Can you please share one of the highlights of one of your programs that help you execute your mission?
There's lots to choose from, but I'm going to focus on the Make Way for Books app here for a minute, just because it really is one of those rare sort of resources. It's not common in terms of from what we found, you know, as we look at ways to expand early literacy resources to families. Our app was developed really happenstance, as many nonprofit organizations. There was a donor that came in off of the street and felt very adamantly that technology was where we should be putting some of our efforts, knowing that, you know, phones and access to books and thinking about scaling programming efforts, that an app was really going to be a part of that. And we were lucky to have somebody on staff who was able to support the development of that app. And the app has been around for several years, actually since 2015, and has had many evolutions, but ultimately was also one of the reasons why we were able to secure national recognition in 2022 from the Library of Congress based on our impacts on early literacy efforts, not just in Arizona, but nationally. So we use the app as an extension tool, right? Extended learning. And that's both for families and educators that participate in the programming. So there's free books, free bilingual books. And while our programming is focused on birth to five, the books available on the app go a little bit higher in terms of reading level, really going into that kinder, first grade reading. There's learning journals in there. So both an educator and a family can track their child's progress. So the reality is we really want folks participating in person, right? We want folks holding books, reading books, but we also know that families are using technology as a resource. And so we want to have this free resource that's available to everybody where they can, if they are going to give a child the phone, right, that it really is something that is benefiting their child's learning. It also has some really intentional stops. So it's intended, just like our programming, for an educator or a parent to get involved. So it would stop and your child's probably saying, hey, how come I can't flip the page? Because it does require or ask that a parent sort of ask a question and get engaged. There's also lots of brief videos on activities and really intended to recreate what we do in the programs. And so while it's intentionally downloaded, both it's part of the family education and literacy program and part of the educator program, it is getting national and international downloads. So it's very exciting and one of those tools that we keep thinking about how we can continue scaling all of our efforts, not just in Arizona, but nationally.
Do you have any events coming up that you would like to share?
Yes, I am excited to share. We were lucky enough to work with the Metro Education Commission, and it's really intended to raise awareness about early literacy in the community. So Read Aloud Week is taking place the week of April 27th through May 3rd, but it's now established as a proclamation for both the city and the county, where we will always be acknowledging April 27th through May 3rd as Read Aloud Week. And so the intent is really to help raise raise awareness in the community and also to raise awareness around the activities and all the literacy champions across the community that are already supporting this in different ways. And so it was an opportunity for us to come together with this shared messaging and also to connect community, families, and participants to what we do and how they can access services. So there's going to be several activities happening in the community. There's going to be reading aloud happening in different schools, but there will also be activities in ward offices. I recommend that folks look on our website at makewayforbooks.org. Also, Literacy Connects is participating with us, as is United Way of Southern Arizona. Another important partner of this effort is the Tucson Festival of Books. So we're very excited about this initiative because it's not just an event that's upcoming.
How can people find out more about Make Way for Books?
Folks can learn more about our organization or about our programming at makewayforbooks.org. They can also contact us at 520-398-6451. I also want to share we have rolling admissions for all of our programs. So we have four different starts throughout the year, and we oftentimes offer summer cohorts as well. So we just want to be available whenever families are. So folks can call, find out about programs, and we can enroll them in the next available cycle.
Thank you so much for being here today, Giselle, and sharing about Make Way for Books.
Thank you so much for having me, Stephanie.
Support for Nonprofit Spotlight is provided by the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona, dedicated to creating an equitable and vibrant community for all Southern Arizonans by connecting donors to the causes they care about. Since 1980, the foundation has awarded over $245 million in grants and scholarships to the community. Learn more at cfsaz.org.